إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، هذا الدرس 15 من دروس من شرح الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة لفضيلة الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله تعالى. We continue reading from the explanation of important lessons for every Muslims, class number 15. The pillars and branches of faith. The pillars and branches of Iman. The pillars of Iman. In Arabic, the word used for pillars is arkan. Arkanu al-Iman, the pillars of Iman, of faith. The singular of which is rukn. So we say rukn is one pillar. Ruknani, two pillars. Arkanun, pillars. And the rukn is of something is its strong side. And there are six pillars of faith. Arkanul Imani Sittatun. Al Imanu Billahi, number one, faith in Allah. Al Imanu Bil Malaikati. Number two, faith in the angels, believe in the angels. الإيمان بالكتب التي نزل الله سبحانه وتعالى على رسله. Number three, to have faith and belief in the books that Allah sent. Number four, الإيمان بالرسل بجميع الرسل. Faith in the messengers, all of them. Number five, al-imanu bil-yawm al-akhir. To have belief and faith in the last day. Number six, al-imanu bil-qadari khayrihi wa sharrihi. Faith in the divine preordainment, both the good and bad of it. So once again, أركان الإيمان ستة. الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى سبحانه وتعالى. The proof for these six being the pillars of faith is found in the answer that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave when Jibreel alayhi salam asked him about faith. And that's in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu that is collected by Imam Muslim rahimahullah sahih. And this is the second hadith in the hadith of an Imam al-Nawawi, the 40 hadith. Jibreel alayhi salam, he came in the form of a man while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with his companions. And after he sat in a well manner, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan said this is how students of knowledge should sit in front of his teacher. Then he began to ask questions. The first question was أخبرني عن الإسلام. Inform me about Islam. What is the real Islam? As Sheikh Fawzan says. And the Prophet ﷺ have to answer in the question by giving him the five pillars of Islam. Then Jibreel ﷺ asked the second question, أخبرني عن الإيمان. Inform me about faith. The Prophet ﷺ answer was, الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. Iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and to believe in divine preordainments, the good and bad of it. So these are the pillars of Iman. If you were asked how many pillars, he says there are 6 pillars. Okay, and you mentioned them. The branches of faith. The Arabic word for branches is shu'ab. Shu'ab. Sheen, ayn, ba. And this is a plural, by the way, jama'. The singular of which is shu'bah. Shu'batun. Sheen, ayn, ba, ta, marbuta. Which means a characteristic or a component. A component. شعب الإيمان. The branches of faith then are its many components. So the Iman has 6 pillars but many components. أركان ستة وشعب كثيرة. In one hadith, we learn that those components are more than 70 in number. And that's hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He related that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, الإيمان بضع وسبعون أو بضع وستون شعبة فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith says faith, Iman, consists of more than 70 or more than 60 branches. The best of which is the saying, La ilaha illallah. This is the best of all these 70 and some branches. To say, La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And the lowest in reward and virtue of all of these branches is to remove something harmful from the road. As you're walking or something, you see something bad in the road that may harm you or harm others. If you can't take it by yourself, you take it. If you need help and help is available, or at least you may call the authority, if there is a number. If you see, for example, if we drive in and we see a phone pole, you know, falling, or maybe electrical wires or stuff like this, then we can inshallah. If we cannot fix these things nor repair them, we make a phone call. We call the city or the department that are in charge of that, so that they can send, because they have equipment, they have people that work and stuff, okay? And you get reward by doing that, alhamdulillah. And it is from Iman. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith clarified that the best of these components or branches is Tawheed. That's the best, because La ilaha illallah is the statement of Tawheed, which is obligatory upon every person, and upon which hinges the validity of other components. Meaning, if a person's Tawheed is not correct, well, all the other components are not. And that shows the importance of Tawheed, Islamic monotheism. The lowest of them, meaning those components and shu'ab, is to remove something that might harm a Muslim. Between these two branches, there are a number of other branches. So when somebody tell you, for example, let's say in a school of 40 students, they says that, and then the teacher may give you the marks of the students, but he don't. He says, look, we have one person that scores the highest. It was 100. And we have another person who scored the lowest, 67. Okay? Then, the 38 people, where are they? They're in between. Meaning that those 38, none of them have 100 more, right? And none of them have less than 67, okay? At least have 67 and a half or 68 or something like that. So the Sheikh, he says, between the highest branch of Iman, which is to say La ilaha illallah, that's Tawheed. Of course, you say La ilaha illallah, you understand its meanings, you act upon it, okay? Not just saying it. And between it and between the lowest, which is to remove harmful objects from the road and the path, between these two branches, there are a number of other branches, such as love for the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, loving for a brother what one loves for himself, jihad. The branches are not clearly mentioned altogether in the Sunnah. However, some scholars, says like Imam al-Bayhaqi, in his book Al-Jami' li Shu'ab al-Iman, they have tried to infer what they are and enumerate them. Some of the many branches are like supports, without which faith disappears in a person. For example, one's faith is invalid if he disbelieves in the last day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Taghabun, that's chapter 67, ayah number 7, زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّأُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. The disbelievers claim and pretend that they will never be resurrected for the account. Say, indeed, yes. Indeed, by my Lord, you will certainly be resurrected. Then you will be informed of what you did. And that is easy for Allah. It's easy for Allah. Some of those branches are less significant than supports. And thus one's faith does not leave due to their absence. Nonetheless, one's level of faith decreases, and one might even be described as a doer of wicked deeds. Meaning that some of the actions, if they are not found branches, they are not found in a person, does not take that person out of Islam or something like that. But however, that person's iman is decreased significantly. One example of this category is for one to treat his neighbor badly. Is one treating his neighbor very bad way. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, or related actually, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره. ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. This hadith that is recorded by Imam al-Bukhari, whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him speak well, or otherwise remain quiet. Whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him honor his neighbor. And whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him honor his guest. Honoring the neighbor is to be nice to them. Respect them, don't harm them in any way. Don't raise your voices, especially if the house is close, or maybe apartments, you live on top, so you don't make noise and disturb them. You don't throw trash in their way or their properties, you don't damage their properties, you don't go to their properties, or use any or touch any of their belongings without their permission. You keep an eye on their properties, especially if they are absent. And speak to them gently, kindly. And of course, neighbors are on different levels. If they are Muslims, non-Muslims. But even non-Muslims, neighbors, you respect them. You don't harm them just because they are non-Muslims. No. Even they are non-Muslims, and that's good because they will see that you are a good Muslim. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open their hearts for Islam because you treating them correctly, nicely, according to the teachings of Islam. And then your neighbor may be a Muslim, now he has more rights over you because now you have to remind them of the Salat. If you're going to the Salat, you didn't see him in the masjid, you talk to them about the prayer. If you see his children doing something wrong, there is not befitting for Muslims, you talk to your neighbor and the like. You invite him in your house, and if he gets sick, you visit him. If somebody dies in his family, you follow their funeral processions, and if they're going through hardship, you try to help them to the best of your ability. You give them advice and the like. Gifts. And then you have a neighbor that Muslim and he's your family. Could be your father, your grandparents, cousins, uncles, brothers, sisters. Then they have even more rights over you. A single person may have some of the components of faith, while at the same time he has some of the components of nifaq, hypocrisy, wal-iyadu billah. For the latter category, he deserves punishment, but he will not dwell in the hellfire for in eternity because of the faith he has in his heart. And Allah Almighty knows best. Meaning here that subhanallah, may Allah protect us and save us, ameen. As the ulama, they says that there are certain people, Muslims, they die upon tawheed. And they may end up in a hellfire for a period that only Allah knows how long. May Allah protect us, ameen. Nobody wants to end up in a hellfire for a second. But certain Muslims, yes, they're Muslims. They die upon Tawheed, but they may end up in the hellfire because of their innovations, because of their sins. Okay? Because as according to the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Sahaba and whoever followed them, which is the correct belief, whoever died upon Tawheed, not upon Shirk, and they die and committing some sins, and especially major sins that they didn't repent from, they will be under Allah's will. And Mashiach, if Allah wants to forgive them, they will be forgiven and enter Jannah. But if Allah wants to punish them for what they've done, they will be punished, and then Allah forgive, and then Allah take them out of the hellfire and admit them in the Jannah. But if somebody die upon shirk, major shirk, shirk al-akbar, they go to the fire, wa'iyadu billah. Allah does not forgive that, as Allah mentioned in the Quran. Now, after this brief introduction, we go on and read to you the first pillar of Iman. Belief in Allah. Al-Imanu Billahi Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Al-Imanu Billah. Al-Imanu Billah. Belief in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Having faith in Allah means to believe with certainty and conviction that Allah is the Lord and Sovereign of all that exists. Because now people say, I believe in Allah. But can they explain what that means? That's what makes the difference. That's why knowledge is important and studying the books of the ulama. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, hafidhahullah ta'ala, often said, spending time learning from the books of the ulama, that's the best thing you can do. Of course, beside studying the book of Allah and the sunnah. So having faith in Allah, it means to believe, not just to say with the tongue, but to believe with certainty and conviction that Allah is the Lord and Sovereign of all that exists. He's not just the Lord of certain people while other people have another Lord. No. Allah doesn't have sovereignty on a part of the universe. No, on all of it. That He is the Lord and Sovereign of all that exists. And that He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Creator and planner and sustainer of the entire universe. So He is the Lord, Sovereign, Creator, planner and sustainer of the entire universe. And that He alone and without a partner deserves to be worshipped. And that all that is worshipped other than Him is worshipped in vain and in falsehood. And that Allah has the most exalted and perfect attributes. And that He is far above from having any fault or defect. That's what the Shaykh is saying here, is like in the first part when he said that you believe that Allah is the Lord, Sovereign of all that exists, and that He is the Creator and Planner and Sustainer of the entire universe. This is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, okay? This is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. The Shaykh is referring to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. That's why after this he's going to mention Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And when he says, and that He alone should deserve to be worshipped without any partners, and all worship should be devoted for Him alone, and none of worship or actions of worship should be devoted to anyone after Him, but Him, that's Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. The Tawheed of worship. And also when he says, and that Allah has the most exalted and perfect attributes, and that He is far above from having any fault or defect, that's Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat, the Tawheed of the names and attributes. Now the Shaykh is going to bring details to these three aspects of Tawheed, the three different aspects of Tawheed. The aspects of Tawheed are توحيد الربوبية, توحيد of lordship, توحيد, and this may be a question, okay? In a test may be a question, what are the three aspects of توحيد? توحيد الربوبية, توحيد الألوهية, and توحيد الأسماء والصفات. Number one, توحيد الربوبية. توحيد الربوبية. This means to believe that Allah Almighty is the only creator, king, planner, and sustainer of all that exists. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Somebody may ask you, what is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? What does it mean? He said, it means to believe that Allah Almighty is the only creator, have no partners that create with him, the king and planner and sustainer of all that exists. First, that he is the sole creator of all that exists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, ayah 54, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Surely he is, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surely his is the creation and commandments. Mean belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one alone creates. Nobody creates anything with Allah. All these trees and flowers and mountains and heavens and earths and oceans and rivers and stones, human being, animal, insects, fish and all that. Nobody create anything. And Allah Almighty says in Surah Fatir, chapter 35, ayah 3, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there any creator other than Allah, other than Allah, who provides for you from the sky and the earth, who provide the rain and produce and all the beautiful things we enjoy? No one else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, ayah 88, قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Say, in whose hand is the sovereignty of everything? In whose hand is the sovereignty of everything? We must also believe that it is only Allah who sustains everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, that's chapter 10, verse 31, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Say, who provides for you from the sky and the earth? Or who owns hearing and sight? And who brings out the living from the dead? And brings out the dead from the living? And who disposes the affairs? They will say, Allah. Say, will you not then be afraid of Allah's punishment? The Surah Yunus, verse 31. The polytheists to whom Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved Prophet, was sent as a messenger, did not oppose this category, meaning Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Rather, they accepted. For Allah Almighty says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. And indeed, if you ask them who has created the heavens and the earth, they will surely say, the Almighty, the All-Knower, created them. Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verse 9. And from previous nations, the only one known to have rejected this category of Tawheed was Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, who did so because of his haughtiness, pride and arrogance. Allah Almighty says to us, relating what the Pharaoh says, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ. He says to his people, Pharaoh, I am your Lord Most High. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ Surah Al-Nazi'at, chapter 79, verse 24. And another group, they call them the Zoroastrians. Zoroastrians, Zoroastrians. Who are these guys? This is an ancient religion of Russia. They claim there is two gods, one of good, one for good, the other for evil, and the conflict between the two gods is continuous, one never ends. Alayyadu billah. This group, they said, are partners with Allah in this category, for they said that the universe has two creators, darkness and light, and they believed that light was better than darkness. As for Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, number two from the three aspects of Tawheed, it is also called Tawheed al-Ibadah, Tawheed of worship. So it may be called Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, and you may hear or see or read in other books, Tawheed al-Ibadah is the same. From the point of view of the worshipper, but to ascribe it to Allah, this category is called al-uluhiyya, from the word al-ilah, which means the God. This category requires one to dedicate his worship purely for Allah. For Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. All that is worshipped other than Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is falsely worshipped. They worship in falsehood. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Luqman, that's chapter 31, ayah number 30, ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل. That is because Allah, He is the truth. He is the true God. And that which they invoke besides Him is al-batil, falsehood. Whether it be shaitan and all other false deities. Doesn't matter whether people may worship. If they don't worship Allah, all what they worship is false, is falsehood. Ahsanta ya Idris, barakallahu fiqh. And Allah Almighty says, لا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر فتقعد مذموما مخذولا. سورة الإسراء, chapter 17, ayah 22. Do not set up with Allah any other gods, or you will sit down reproved, forsaken in the hellfire. Riyadu billah. Most people disbelieve in and reject this category. And it was because of this that the messengers were sent and the books were revealed, because of this category. Not because of Tawheed al-Rububiyya, but because of this one, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, that all the people should worship Allah alone. Not worship Him and worship others beside Him, no, worship Him alone. All the messengers were sent with this, and the books, they were revealed because of this, Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, the Tawheed of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, ayah 25, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. And we did not send any messenger before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we revealed to him to say to his people, لا إله إلا أنا. None has the right to be worshipped but I, meaning Allah. So worship me alone and none else. So this is the second type of Tawheed. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. As for Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat, this category involves believing in Allah and in His attributes in the way that is taught to us in the Quran and the Sunnah. Somebody asks you, yes, you believe in Asma' al-Sifat, what that mean? This means that we believe in Allah and in His attributes in the way that is taught to us in the Quran and the Sunnah, and in a way that is appropriate for Allah, and that is achieved by affirming that which Allah affirmed for Himself, or what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed, and by negating what Allah Almighty negated from Himself, or what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated from Him, without distorting, that's tahrif, such attributes, or negating them, that's ta'til in Arabic, and without saying how they are, nor believing that they are similar to the attributes of the creatures. That's what they call biduni tahrif, wala ta'til, wala takif, wala tamthil. Once again, I repeat, Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. This category involves believing in Allah and in His attributes in the way that is taught to us in the Quran and the Sunnah, and in a way that is appropriate for Allah, and that is achieved by affirming that which Allah affirmed for Himself, or what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed, and by negating what Allah Almighty negated from Himself, or what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated from Him, without distorting such attributes or negating them, and without saying how they are, nor believing that they are similar to the attributes of the creatures. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 42, actually it's chapter 42, verse 11, ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. There is nothing like unto Him, and He is the All-Hearer, the All-Seer. What does this mean when it says, we affirm for Allah what He affirmed for Himself? Meaning, if Allah affirms that He has names in the Quran and has attributes, we affirm it for Allah. Allah says He's a السميع البصير. Nobody can say, no, this is not one of the names of Allah. But Allah said that His name. Allah affirmed for Himself the hands, wajh, face. That's it. We believe in those things. But in the same way, we do not say how these hands are. No, we don't ask those questions. And especially the Sahaba didn't ask those questions. We don't ask these questions. Allah told us that, informed us that He rose above the throne. We believe that Allah rose above the throne. Do we ask how? No, we don't ask how. We believe, but we don't change the meaning. We don't say, no, because this is that. It means that is a power or mercy. No, we don't. Because the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell us that's what he means. None of the Sahaba said that that's what he means. So we have to be very careful when it comes to this aspect of Tawheed. There are many groups and sects that have gone astray regarding this category, okay? Jahmiya, Mu'tazila, Asha'ira. These are deviant groups. Okay, these are major deviant groups that they went wrong in the names and attributes of Allah, like Jahmiyyah, Mu'tazila, Asha'ira, and the like. And a topic that can be attached to faith in Allah is faith in the unseen, al-ilm, al-imanu bil-ghayb. We must first discuss its meaning and then its influence on the beliefs of the Muslim. Number one, the meaning of faith in the unseen. Al-ghayb, or the unseen, refers to anything that is hidden from the senses, whether it is known or unknown. Belief in the unseen, i.e. in that which cannot be perceived by the senses, is not gained by genius of the mind. Rather, it becomes known through what the Prophet ﷺ informed us. Believing the unseen is one of the qualities of the believer. So meaning that even though we don't see it with our eyes, but if the Prophet ﷺ said it, that's it. We believe, and this is a quality of a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةُ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, this is the book, the Qur'an, whereof there is no doubt, a guidance to those who are pious. And who are these pious? They are those who believe in the ghayb, the unseen, and perform as salat, and spend out of what we have provided for them. So regarding their belief in the unseen, the ghayb, there are two views. Number one, they believe in that which is hidden from the senses, and this specifically refers to those hidden matters that Allah and His Messenger ﷺ have informed us about. Number two, they believe in Allah now that they do not see Him just as they were able to see Him, as opposed to the hypocrites. And there is no contradiction between the two meanings. There is no contradiction between the two meanings, for they must both be present in the believer. Because you worship Allah as though you see Him. As the Prophet ﷺ said, if you don't keep in mind, you are not going to see Allah in this dunya, but Allah sees you. And inshallah ta'ala, in the class of tomorrow, we will continue finishing on this point by talking about the influence of faith in the unseen of the Muslims' beliefs. And then after that, inshallah ta'ala, we go ahead and continue reading to you the explanation of the remaining pillars of the pillars of Iman. Like the second one of them is believe in the angels, al-Iman al-Mala'ika. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا